Good morning.
Good morning.
And a warm welcome to you on this snowy first Sunday of Lent. I'm glad that we few have made it in this morning, especially with the time change too. I know I was just yawning like four times as I was sitting there, so I'll assume that's why you're yawning in the middle of my sermon is because of the time change. But I'm glad you guys are all here this morning and made it in safe and sound, and hopefully we'll make it back home again, safe and sound. You know, I know you're all hearty northern Minnesotans, and honestly, maybe that's a strategy for ministry up here, is if it seems more challenging to get to church, people will want to come to church more just to show how tough they are. So I think in the summer we'll do some obstacle courses, you know, before you can get in the sanctuary. We'll do some ropes, and some of the military guys can give us advice from when they were in basic training, maybe. But thanks to all those that helped out yesterday at the fundraiser for Jim White that we hosted here. If you're wondering why the fellowship hall still smells a little bit like garlic, that's why. They had lots of garlic bread and spaghetti and everything and all kinds of stuff that they were auctioning off. So thanks to all those that helped participate and offer up that fundraiser for a member of our community here in Malmo. I guess we'll just kind of keep it short and sweet. You'll notice, very appropriately, next Saturday the Lions will be doing a winter carnival on nearby Deer Lake. Of course, we also continue with our Lenten midweek services this week. So I will be off to First Lutheran. Pastor Rebecca will be here, and I think Jim and Sheila will be providing the music, or at least with the CD player will be providing the music, so you'll get to hear some lovely voices as they lead us in the Holden evening prayer. Let's see. A couple of other ongoing things. Of course, we're doing, you know, fundraisers and a couple other little ministries here and there. I know George said that he's going in for his surgery on Thursday. Thursday, so you finally get that thing plucked out of you. I know you've been waiting for that. So all of our prayers, of course, go out to George for that. And for anybody else, too, please let me know if there's anything else going on health-wise. Other than that, is there anything else we need to announce at this time? You doing good? All right. Oh, I guess it's, what was it, St. Urho? Is that the...
It's really the 16th, but...
Okay.
Taken,
yeah, and...
St.
Okay, okay. Okay, and if he sees his shadow, is it six more weeks of winter? Is that how that works? There you go. So the Finnish patron saint of staying inside in the winter with a warm cup of something. So I'm sure I'm getting an education this morning. I'll have to find out more about him. Anyway, all right. Well, if there's nothing else at this time, our opening hymn is hymn 588. Oh, and by the way, it is. You'll notice in our reading today, it is very appropriately. We have that verse that says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name." So we're already doing better than that. So, all right. 588.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promise to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen. Forgiving God, as you encouraged your people to forgive, you modeled forgiveness by releasing us from the bondage to sin. Help us to forgive others so that we might live in harmony with all your children. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our main and gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning in the 15th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their lord, all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us please read together our brief psalm response. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Amen. Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, I know what you're thinking. Our reading for this first Sunday in Lent, the passage that is going to set the stage for the whole 6 weeks leading up until Easter, this time of deep individual and communal reflection, is about forgiveness. Not exactly a shocking theme in a church, especially a Lutheran church. I mean, forgiveness is great, don't get me wrong, but we've kind of, you know, we kind of talk about forgiveness a lot. A little bit of been there, done that. Sort of connected to that whole grace thing that we Lutherans are sort of keen on. And this bit from Matthew does have some wild examples of forgiveness and examples of what happens if we're not forgiving, too. This whole story that Jesus tells of this slave that somehow racked up 10,000 talents worth of debt is frankly kind of impressive for that slave. You've probably heard other pastors talk about this before, but a talent, it's not a skill, right? It's a sum of money, and it's like a sum of money that would be about 6,000 times what a person would earn on a daily basis, right? So an average worker would earn like one denarii, and a talent would be 6,000 times that. So this is, you know, almost a life's worth of work for the average person. And this person owns 10,000 of those. You're wondering, who the heck did he build up that much debt, you know? Like, did they have, like, what kind of casinos did they have back then? Or, you know, did this guy burn down the king's castle? And then when he rebuilt that castle, he burned that one down along with all the valuable possessions as well? Like, how did he get that with 10,000 talents? And this whole thing where the king forgives him when he pleads with him and says, oh, I'll pay back the debt. I think the king knows this guy's not going to pay back the debt, right? This is an act of forgiveness. It's not because he's expecting to get paid and with interest at some point. This is a phenomenal sum of money that Jesus offers in this story. It'd be like if we owed like half the national debt or something, and you know, and Minnesota's like, okay, it's up to you to cover our shortfall in the budget this year. You know, it's probably not going to happen. But of course, as I said, we talk about forgiveness a lot. So let's start with that little passage in the middle that is, thanks to God and the weather, especially important today, right? This bit about where two or three are gathered in my name. Let's start there, because I think that's, you know, it's a wonderful verse, not just for days when the snow kind of keeps a lot of us out of churches, but, you know, this is the sort of the verse of hope for a lot of small, struggling ministries, whether it's a new ministry or it's an old one that people are trying to keep alive. You know, this is the passage that they turn to. It's a reminder. You know, it's not just an excuse. It's a reminder that God is with us, even when it feels like we've been pouring our heart out for something, and, you know, you've been working on something, and then the snow comes, or people are just not interested, and you're sitting there in a quiet church or in a quiet room somewhere having devoted all kinds of energy, and only a few people come, and you want to feel bad about yourself. You want to wallow in that kind of frustration and shame and grief. That it's a reminder that God is in those moments too. That God is there with us. That God is working something through even these quiet moments. And that's not to say that maybe we should, you know, of course, reflect on our ministries if they're always going that way, and change things up if they need to, but there's a lot of great ministry that happens just between two or three people, right? That's a lot of what we do when, not just when the pastor visits people, but when we go out to visit people in nursing homes, when we care for the sick, when we pray with a friend who's struggling. You know, this is oftentimes when we have these most meaningful, powerful moments of our ministry. It's just a couple of people sharing their lives with one another. You know, and sometimes it is these moments of communal worship too, where we try to gather a bigger group, but only a few show up. You know, I don't think I've talked about this before, but that year that I spent on Pine Ridge, we had this very meaningful Easter service. One of the things that we did when I was out there, that my supervising pastor and I, we helped this little tiny little Episcopal church just out, way out in the country. You know, this is a church that was heated by wood stoves that for the facilities had outhouses, you know, which was super fun in the winter. snowshoes only help so much, right? You know, when you need to sit down on that cold seat in the winter. But, you know, we went there for an Easter service to help them out. And the main service had more than two or three, thankfully. It had maybe 30, 40. It was about as packed as I'd ever saw that little church. But a couple of the church matriarchs had convinced us to lead a sunrise service in the cemetery across the road. And I think they were pretty much the only ones that came besides my supervising pastor and myself. And my mom, who was visiting and was a good sport about it. But it was beautiful. You know, I can't say I'm a super big fan of getting up at the crack of dawn and leading worship, but it was beautiful. You know, watching the sunrise over the prairie, the hills in the distance, offering prayers and a couple of songs sung a cappella as the wind whipped across the grass. And then walking back to the church to find folks had started up a campfire and were heating up coffee and tea. And that little church always would smell of cedar, because some of the women would take a few sprigs and would put it on the wood-burning stove, and it would smolder and give off this incense. You know, it's one of those memories that it's going to stick with me as long as my memory works, I think. Well, that and the cold seat of the outhouse, that'll probably stick in there too. But you know, it all goes together. It's part of the whole picture. But it was just a few people. You know, it wasn't a big mega church. It wasn't, you know, they had when we graduated from seminary, there was this great graduation worship service as part of that, and they had these big, tall, like 10-20-foot poles and big streamers and, you know, incredible music and everything, and that's wonderful too, but I remember those moments where just a few were gathered, I think, just as well. And like I said, we all have our stories to tell, whether it's at a small country church, whether it's a gathering at a hospital or a graveside, whether it's just the company of a few friends over good fellowship, good conversation, over our own form of communion, right? Maybe not wafers and the sweet church wine. Maybe it's, you know, maybe the bread is cake and the wine is of a much finer vintage. But, you know, we all have these moments where we share a presence of God amongst just a few people. You know, God is with us in those moments. God delights in those moments, not just the big and the fancy and the highly produced extravaganzas of faith expressions. Those are fine too, but I think God also loves quiet moments. We certainly saw that in Jesus, as he would so often gather with his few friends up on some mountainside or on a lakeshore. Of course, we do remember, coming back to forgiveness, that maybe one of the reasons that God is in those moments of two or three people is because even if a church is made up of only two or three people, right, we can still find reasons to have arguments. We can still have reasons to make disagreements. We can still find ways to hurt one another. You know, when our nerves and our tensions boil over and we say things we know we aren't supposed to say and we say them anyway, and then we keep saying things that we know we're not supposed to say and we dig ourselves so deep that we could really use a miner's hat to find our way out. You know, God is there because God probably needs to be even amongst two or three people because we're human beings. You know, we're going to fall short from time to time. We're going to speak words that are not words of loving prayer and concern. We're going to say words that sting a bit, that hurt a bit. We're going to do things that we don't mean to do, or maybe we thought they were a good idea at the time, but that end up hurting our brothers and sisters. And so Jesus gives us a little model of how we might work past some of these moments. And it's, you know, oftentimes the Bible speaks in very, very metaphorical ways, very spiritual ways that require us to think about it. But here we actually have a practical model. And what's amazing is we still use this model, this this example from Matthew's gospel of okay, well, first try to talk to them one-on-one and then gather a couple other people. That's in our church constitution. I know you all know that because you are devoted readers of our church constitution. Well, George is, I guess, because he had to, right? You know, he took that on himself a little while ago. But it's actually in there in the Constitution as a guidance if there's conflict in the church, that we start with those one-on-one conversations and then involve a couple more. And then hopefully it doesn't come to the point where the church council has to, you know, has to give you some harsher words. But you know, we have this example of how we might work past some of these disagreements in a church. You know, to share our lives with one another is truly a blessing. But as I said, you know, we're human beings. This is what Lent is always a good time to remind us of, that we are human beings, the good and the bad and everything in between. We join together with holy intentions. We join together with speaking words of love and kindness and forgiveness. And yet, as our passage also reminds us today, even sometimes when we've been forgiven in big, bold, incredible ways, we can be a bit hypocritical. We can fail to see, we can fail to extend the same kind of forgiveness to other people. But we do need to work through these processes. And that's the other thing to remember as well, too. Jesus isn't just saying, we'll just sweep it all under the rug. Jesus isn't saying, let's just not talk about it. Let's just forget about it. Let's just move on. Jesus says, you know, you need to work through some of these things. That's how we build strong communities. You know, if bonds of love are going to be secure, you got to work through the tough stuff as well. So yeah, it does come back to forgiveness in the end. Even when two or three are gathered in powerful moments, sometimes two or three are gathered in difficult moments as well, too. I know it's kind of the common wrap-up for a good Lutheran sermon, but maybe we need to hear these words of forgiveness and mercy a lot because we need to hear these words of mercy and forgiveness a lot for ourselves, for others. You know, we need it so there can be healing, constant healing. You know, Luther would often speak about, you know, this process of asking for God's forgiveness as sort of a daily dying and rising, connecting it to baptism, right? That it's not just a once and for all, well, it is a once and for all thing, but it should be a regular process that we remind ourselves of. Because we know we get caught in these cycles of forgiveness and sin, and then we sin again, and we need forgiveness all over again. And rather than get trapped forever in cycles of anger and resentment, it's better to be, if you're going to get caught in a cycle, it's better to have one of that involves forgiveness rather than just ignoring a problem or just keeping the anger inside of us and separating ourselves out from one another. Because God is with us in those moments when we are together. God is with us in moments that are racked with conflict and doubt. God is with us when debts seem too big to forgive, in assemblies great and small. God is with us even when the storms of life, when winter snow or anything else might try to keep us separated. God is there with us, in our midst, holding us close, holding us together. Amen. Please rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the Church, for people in need, and for all creation. Holy and steadfast God, keep your word near to us, planting it in our hearts and our communities. Make it blossom into proclamation for all people to receive. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. As you give your Spirit freely, so also give bread that sustains every living thing. Graciously feed hungry souls and hungry stomachs with your bountiful provision. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Stir up courage among your people to resist oppressive powers and to lead people into freedom, as you did through Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, whom we commemorate today. Shine the light of your justice through their work. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Hold tightly those who grow weary in their struggle with addiction or temptation. By your strength, bear them up to live fully in your presence. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Teach us the stories of our faith by heart. As you accompanied our ancestors in their uncertainty, so guide us confidently into the future. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Good and gracious God, we lift up our prayers this morning. We especially remember in prayer those who need your continued presence as they work to restore health. We remember, of course, George going for surgery this week. We offer prayers for Jim White and prayers of thanksgiving for those that helped support him yesterday. And, of course, we remember all those others in prayer that we are thinking of this day, prayers for those we love, those we may barely even know, and, of course, for ourselves. And we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Please keep all those, O God, who have to travel in this winter weather, who are suffering in the wake of this winter storm. Please be with all those as well who work in these times of inclement weather and help keep roads and driveways and other places clear and safe for the rest of us. When we struggle and are tested, O God, redeem us by the endurance of Christ. Give us steadfast faith to strive for your glory until we witness its fullness. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways. Through the saving work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
I think we can probably just give up.
Thank you.
us pray.
Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen.
Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has prepared the feast. At your feast, you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God, who fills creation with abundance, Christ, who spreads his arms in forgiveness, Holy Spirit, who draws up ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen. I'll do the dismissal after our hymn, which is "All of My Life" on the back.
Days above.